Man, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, the part of the chapter I wanted to focus on is beginning there in verse number 6, where the Bible reads, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." And what I want to preach on this morning is insanity in light of the Bible. Insanity in light of the Bible. Now, in verse 7, the Bible says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And a sound mind would be the opposite of being insane. It's the absence of insanity. Now, if you would flip back to Deuteronomy chapter number 28, and I'm going to show you this morning that insanity is a spiritual problem, not a physical problem. Many people today have this delusion that insanity, people that are crazy, that it's because they have some kind of a chemical imbalance or that there's something physically wrong with them. But in reality, no, it's a spiritual problem. It's not a physical problem. And I'm going to prove that this morning. But let me just show you some scriptures that mention things along these lines. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." So he gives a big, giant, long list here of bad things that are going to happen to people who do not keep God's commandments, who disregard his word. One of the things that it lists is madness or insanity. It says in verse 27, "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emerods and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed." You know, one thinks of the STDs that people pick up from living a life of fornication and wickedness. But the Bible says in verse 28, "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." Look at verse 34. "So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head." Now go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. See, madness in the Bible is not talking about anger, but it's talking about being crazy. For example, David, when he is presented before the king of the Philistines, in order to get out of there with his skin, he pretends to be mad, the Bible says. He pretends to be crazy. So he starts drooling on his beard, and it says that he scrabbled at the doors of the gates, which means that, you know, he clawed at them. And then they said, "Oh, well, this is a madman. I don't need this guy." So he basically got off on the insanity defense, you know, when he was brought before the Philistines. So madness is being crazy. And look, the Bible talks about the Lord striking people with madness, first of all, number one. And then number two, it says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So a sound mind comes from the Lord, and madness can often come from the Lord. And also madness comes from being demon-possessed. And I'm going to get to that later in the sermon. But if you would look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3, the Bible reads, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead." So again, we can see that madness has to do with the evil that's in someone's heart. It is a spiritual problem, not a physical problem. And I'm going to show you this morning that the only pill that you need is the gospel. All right? Because today, insanity is treated with drugs. And whenever you want to know why something is the way it is that's wrong, you always follow the money. Because the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And in America today, the United States spends $113 billion on mental health treatment. Did you hear that? $113 billion. And that is 5.6% of national health care spending. And also, the government has mandated and forces, you know, health care providers to provide these services. A lot of health insurances would not cover it. if they were not being forced to cover it by the government. The reason why is because the whole thing is a crock. It's a fraud. Now, let me just show you some of the facts, even from a perspective of the mental health industry, even from reading the publications of the psychiatrists themselves, the psychologists themselves, the medical professionals themselves. They have divided the different types of insanity into six types. And I'm going to go through the six types that the medical world classifies insanity or madness in these six types. Type number one would be mood altering. Okay. And this is depression is the main thing here. Now, what does the Bible say about that? Well, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. So according to the Bible, we get joy from the Holy Spirit, which would be the antidote for this so-called insanity of depression, this mental illness. No, it's not a mental illness. It's a spiritual problem. Because joy comes from the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that we as Christians rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of great glory. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You look at the second type of, and if you would flip over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, because the second type of insanity that the medical world would recognize would be addiction. As the next type of insanity. These are the six classifications that they use. Number one, mood altering, depression. Number two would be ritualizing or addiction, okay? And if you would, look at John chapter 8 and find the answer for addiction. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's see what kind of freedom he's talking about. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And this is what addiction is. You know, one who, for example, is a slave to the bottle, or one who is addicted to drugs, they become the servant of sin. The Bible says in verse 35, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So what is the answer, according to the Bible, for overcoming addiction? Is it drugs? Is it some treatment program in some kind of a medical facility? No, the Bible says that if you continue in the word of God, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, makes you free. And that freedom is the freedom from the bondage of sin, where you're addicted to this sin, addicted to that sin. It's very possible for a Christian to break the cycle of addiction. Now, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're not going to have addictions. See, he's talking to people that already believed on him. But he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a big difference between just being saved and being a disciple. I mean, there are 12 disciples, right? But being saved, I mean, there are thousands of people who got saved. Doesn't mean that they're following Christ. Doesn't mean that they're forsaking the things that they need to forsake, etc., etc. So the freedom from addiction is right there in John chapter 8, verse 30. Okay, the third thing under insanity, besides the mood altering, the depression, you know, the ritualizing or addiction. The third thing is phobias. Okay, this is where people aren't just scared of something, but they have an irrational fear or an exaggerated fear. Okay, so here's a list of the main phobias that are recognized. Number one, agoraphobia. This is when you're scared of wide open spaces. All right, agoraphobia. Number two, bathophobia. Now, I've had some toddlers that had this one. Bathophobia is where you're really scared of deep water, okay? Claustrophobia, everybody knows that. That's the opposite of agoraphobia. That's where you're actually scared of being in tight, confined places. Then there's kinetomortophobia. Now, kinetomortophobia is fear of the undead. Now, it explained when I was reading up on kinetomortophobia, you know, it explained that, you know, if you're scared of vampires, that's normal. Okay, because, you know, that's a normal fear of the undead if a vampire scares you. But if just a simple skeleton scares you, then you have kinetomortophobia. You know, you go into the science class and see a skeleton. Ah! you know, that you have this apparently. That's irrational. Okay, here, you're going to love the next one. Misogynophobia. You heard this term being like misogynistic. Okay, misogynophobia is when you have this irrational fear of the opposite gender. So this is, it says here, for example, a woman who cannot trust any man has this misogynophobia, for example. Fear of trusting the opposite gender, okay? And then we have nocturnophobia, which is when you're scared of the dark, okay? This is real serious stuff, folks. You know, get the drug company cranking. We need some drugs now to fix this stuff. Vertophobia, being scared of, you know, high places, of course. Xenophobia, you're scared of people of other nationalities, other races, etc. And then misophobia, where you're scared of germs and getting sick and stuff like that. And things being dirty and things like that. So anyway, those are your phobias. Well, you know, does the Bible have the answer for these phobias? For bathophobia, you know, for agoraphobia, whatever the phobia. Well, over and over again, the Bible is teaching us about fear. And even the verse that we started with this morning said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It sounds like the Holy Spirit is going to allow us to overcome fear and replace it with a sound mind that does not have these irrational, exaggerated fears of these type of things. And over again, of course, Christ talks about the fact that, you know, we will have peace in our heart, which would be pretty much the opposite of fear, if you think about it. Because if a person has peace, they're not scared. They're at peace. They're calm, right? What does the Bible say? It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. What does the Bible say? That the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. See, it's the fruit of the Spirit. God gives us that spirit of a sound mind that overcomes fear. Okay, number four would be personality disorders. And I'm going to spend some time on this one. Personality disorders. Now, the main personality disorder is called dissociative identity disorder, or DID. But this used to be referred to as multiple personality disorder. Okay, this is a big one. So let me just give you some stuff that I researched on this. Just reading up on medical websites, science websites, nothing that was a Christian church or something. You know, no, this is just what the medical community is saying. Here's some information that I found on this. Dissociative identity disorder, previously known as multiple personality disorder, is a mental disorder on the dissociative spectrum characterized by the appearance of at least two distinct and relatively enduring identities or dissociated personality states that alternately control a person's behavior, accompanied by memory impairment for important information not explained by ordinary forgetfulness. These symptoms are not accounted for by substance abuse, seizures, other medical conditions, nor by imaginative play in children. So what's it saying? There is no medical problem with these people. It just says it's not accounted for by medical conditions. There's nothing physically wrong with the person, but they basically have these other personalities, and when they do stuff as those other personalities, they don't have any memory of having done it. Okay? Now let's keep reading here. And the sources for those statements I just read to you, partly from the World Health Organization and partly from the American Psychiatric Association. Here's some other things that I found reading up on this. DID is one of the most controversial psychiatric disorders with no clear consensus regarding its diagnosis or treatment. They have no way to figure out where it comes from, how to treat it. They don't know what this is. No systematic, empirically supported definition of dissociation exists. It is not the same as schizophrenia. Dissociation, the term that underlies the dissociative disorders, including DID, lacks a precise, empirical, and generally agreed upon definition. According to the Fifth Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DID includes the presence of two or more distinct identities or personality states that alternate control of the individual's behavior, accompanied by the inability to recall personal information beyond what is expected through normal forgetfulness. A diagnosis of DID provides an explanation to patients for the behavioral instability, self-mutilation, unpredictable mood changes, and actions they experience. The cause of DID is unknown and widely debated, with debate occurring between supporters of different hypotheses. Listen, let me tell you what the cause is. You're demon-possessed. Hello. Have you ever read the Bible? Over and over again, the Bible describes these type of things. They have zero explanation for it. But since they do not believe that the spirit exists, they just think, well, there's got to be some physical explanation for this. When there really isn't one. They can't find one. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? What is DID? It is characterized by different identities or self-states. There is no integrated sense of self, an ability to recall information that goes beyond forgetfulness. Prone to amnesia, people with DID sometimes can't remember what they've done or said. They have a tendency to dissociate or space out and lose track of minutes or hours. For instance, it's common for people with DID to find that they've hurt themselves, but they don't remember doing that. So they're harming themselves while they're having some other alternate personality. And then when they come back too, they don't even remember having done it. I went to a website that talked about common DID myths. This is this multiple personality disorder. Myth number one is that it's rare. People think it's rare. It's actually not rare. Studies show that in the general population, about 1 to 3% of people meet the full criteria for DID. 1 to 3% of people are affected by this. This isn't some rare, unknown thing. This makes the disorder as common as bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. The rates in clinical populations are even higher, Brand said. Unfortunately, even though DID is fairly common, research about it is grossly underfunded. Researchers often use their own money to fund studies or to volunteer their time. And the National Institute of Mental Health has yet to fund a single treatment study on DID. There's nothing you can do about it, right? Listen to this. This is from WebMD. There is usually a host personality within the individual who identifies with the person's real name. Ironically, the host personality is usually unaware of the presence of other personalities. So the host, I mean, think about when we would use the word host. Wouldn't that be like when there's like a parasite? So basically, something else has come in, is what it's saying, basically. Listen to this. This is from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. This is a real important manual that all psychiatric professionals are going to turn to and use. This is from the 5th edition. I'm just going to quote part of it. The fragmented identities may take the form of possessing spirits, deities, demons, animals, or mythical figures. Acculturation or prolonged intercultural contact may shape the characteristic of other identities. For example, identities in India may speak English exclusively and wear Western clothes. Possession form dissociative identity disorder. So listen to this. It's a type of it. Possession style. Possession style. Okay, listen to this. Can be distinguished from culturally accepted possession states in that the former is involuntary, distressing, uncontrollable, and often recurring or persistent, involves conflict between the individual and his or her surrounding family, social, or work milieu, and is manifested at times and in places that violate the norms of the culture or religion. Okay, well, enough of that. Let's go to the Bible now. Go to Matthew 17. With all that in mind that was read to you just from prominent scientific organizations, psychiatric journals and manuals. You know, this is what the mental health industry is describing about this mental disorder, this insanity that afflicts 1 to 3% of people in the United States. Less in other parts of the world. It's North America has the most. So this is where all the demons are, apparently. But anyway, listen to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him, a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. Now, what does lunatic mean? Somebody who's crazy, right? Somebody who's insane. And sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And you know that Jesus has to look at us today with all our billions and billions of dollars spent on this mental health industry that does not cure these type of disorders. And he looks down and says, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation." He says, "Bring him to me." You know, these people need to be brought to Jesus. But that's not what the world wants to hear. That's not what the, because there's no money in that. Bring him to Jesus. The guy needs to get saved. He needs the gospel. He needs the word of God. Look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter number 5. And notice the self-destructive behavior of the one who was demon-possessed in the story. He threw himself into the fire. He threw himself into the water. Suicidal. Look at Mark chapter 5 verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Watch this. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This is one of the big things with this multiple personality disorder. It says that they do self-mutilation, cutting themselves with stones. That's what the Bible says here. And it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, verse 6, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And remember, when these devils are cast out of this man, they end up going into the herd of swine and making the herd of 2,000 swine run off the cliff and cast themselves into the sea. Now, it's interesting when you read up on this multiple personality disorder, it talks about how there have been cases where somebody had as many as 100 personalities. But that usually it would be around the teens, 13 or 15, but sometimes it would only be 2 or 3. It just depends. So it's clear when you read up on it that a person in the Bible who is demon-possessed is one and the same with a person who has this dissociative, you know, personality disorder. But if you would, look at verse 15 of the same chapter. The Bible says, "They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid." So again, we see this was a spiritual problem. There was nothing physically wrong with this guy. He had a spiritual problem. You know, the Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus healing those that were lunatics. Same thing, okay? And those that were possessed with devils. Now, I'm not saying that, hey, we're going to go cast out the demons, because the bottom line is that Jesus went about casting out devils, and people were amazed that he had the power to do that. Because your average believer on Jesus Christ did not have the power to do that. And in fact, when he gave power to his apostles to do that, people were amazed by that. And it was the apostles who did those kind of special signs and wonders. We as Christians don't have the power to just cast out devils as Jesus did. We don't just walk up and every sick person that we talk to, they recover. You know, that was what Jesus did. That was what the apostles did. But that power was not given unto every believer, every Christian. That's not biblical, you know. But there is obviously a spiritual problem, and if we would address that, we could help people. We could pray for them that they would be delivered from these kind of devils and possession. We could preach the word of God to them. You know, preach the word of God to people in the first place before they get this messed up also. So the answer is Jesus. The answer is soul winning. The answer is the word of God according to the Bible. Not drugs that don't work, not pills. But here's the thing. Okay, back to our list of six categories. We talked about, number one, depression, because these are the six classifications of insanity according to the world, you know, according to the mental health industry. Number one, mood altering, which would be depression. Number two, ritualizing, which would be addiction. Number three, your phobias or fear. Number four, personality disorders, which we talked about, the dissociative identity disorder. But number five is perceptual distortions, and this is schizophrenia. And then number six would be serial crime disorders. So this would be a serial murderer, serial rapist, serial thief. So they're saying, well, that person's insane. This is a type of mental illness. This is insanity. Okay, but does the Bible have the answer for the serial murderer, the serial rapist, and the serial thief? Well, the Bible says, again, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What does it mean, the fruit of the Spirit? This is what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, brings forth in our lives. He gives us love. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He gives us all these different things. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So if God gives us the spirit of a sound mind, love comes with that. And what does the Bible say? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Right. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So if a person has love, they're not going to be a serial rapist. They're not going to be a serial murderer. They're not going to be a serial thief. Again, the answer comes back to the Bible, the Word of God. But let's back up to number five, because I want to talk a little more about number five, schizophrenia. Now, schizophrenia is often confused with multiple personality disorder, but they are two completely different things. When we hear schizophrenic, we think somebody has multiple personalities. The reason why people think that is because the word schizophrenia, the first part of it, schizo, it means split. Sort of like when the Bible talks about there being a schism in the body of Christ, a split is what that's referring to. And then the phrenia has to do with your mind, okay? So when they see the two parts of split mind, they think, oh, yeah, split personality. But that's not what schizophrenia is. Actually, schizophrenia, and I'll read for you the official definition here of schizophrenia, is a mental disorder often characterized by abnormal social behavior and failure to recognize what is real. Common symptoms include false beliefs, unclear or confused thinking, auditory hallucinations, reduced social engagement, emotional expression, and lack of motivation. Diagnosis is based on observed behavior and the person's reported experiences. So again, is there something where they give you a blood test and say, oh, you're schizophrenic. Here, let's check your brain. Yep, schizophrenic. No, no, no. The diagnosis is based upon just looking at what you do and also just what you tell them that you experienced. So again, these aren't real medical issues, folks. The whole psychiatric health industry is a complete fraud. We went through all six classifications of insanity and showed them all to be a fraud. And it's a, what, $113 billion, you know, per year fraud. That's a pretty big fraud, right? So, schizophrenia, what is it? Well, it's funny because when you look at the list of things that are listed there, it kind of describes the world that we live in a lot of ways. But before I get into that, I want to tell you about this movie that I was assigned to watch when I was in math class in community college. Back when I went to junior college in California as a teenager, I went to a math class and I was assigned to watch this movie about this famous mathematician named John Nash, okay? And this famous mathematician suffered from schizophrenia. But what's funny is that everything that Hollywood puts out is always a complete lie. It's always fraud. And when I actually read up on the guy, there's a lot that they're not telling you in the nice little Hollywood movie where they show this guy and he's just this wonderful guy. And he's dealing with schizophrenia, and he basically has all these imaginary friends. And people are telling him to do stuff, and he thinks they're real. And he basically can't figure out what's real and what's not real, okay? But he ends up, he's also a brilliant mathematician, so he ends up, you know, coming up with some groundbreaking mathematical discoveries and so forth, having to do with game theory. But here's what's interesting. When you actually read up on the guy's life, here's what they forget to tell you. That long before this guy ever had any mental problems, before he ever had any schizophrenia, because in the movie they show him being schizophrenic real early in his life, like while he's in college, it actually came later, the schizophrenia. And if you read the true story, here's what he was doing when he was in his 20s. Young man in his 20s, before he'd had any mental problems, any schizophrenia, he was caught by the police soliciting queer sex in a park. See, that part didn't make it into the movie. You know, the movie doesn't mention anything about that. About the fact that back in the 1950s, the police were setting up sting operations where they would go to parks where these sodomites were known to hang out. They would just go to the park, and all they would do is just make eye contact with other dudes. And then these dudes would come up to them and proposition and expose. So this guy exposed him, this wonderful mathematician. The movie's called A Beautiful Mind. Okay, he's exposing himself to a cop in the park. Just soliciting random queer, you know what, in the park. You know, I wonder if that has something to do with the fact that he lost his mind a little bit thereafter. But they don't tell you that. It's like, oh, poor guy got schizophrenia. Yeah, there's a spiritual problem.
Right.
You know, when you're out in the park soliciting an undercover cop to be a homo, you've got a spiritual problem.
Yeah.
You got a real big spiritual problem. And then, you know, that kind of explains the insanity. But you see, the Hollywood movie, no, they're not going to show you that. They're not. I'm glad they don't show you that, but I'm saying, you know, they're not even going to mention the fact of where this is coming from because they don't want you to think it's a spiritual problem. They want you to think you just roll the dice and some people are insane and some people aren't, and there's no base. No, the Bible says the curse causeless shall not come. That's what the Bible says. Now, let's look at this list of behaviors of schizophrenia because I want to tell you this morning that God has given to us as believers the spirit of a sound mind. He's made us as believers sane. We're able to look at the world around us and see it as it really is. But I'm here to tell you that we are living in an insane world. And it's not just the 1% to 3% of people that are walking around with demons in their head and having all these multiple Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde things going on. But that rather, we're just living in a crazy world. Why? Because when the world rejects Jesus and the Bible, they go crazy.
Yeah.
Listen to schizophrenia. Number one, abnormal social behavior. Yeah, John Nash was exhibiting that in the park. Okay? Being a homo is abnormal social behavior in the first place. Number two, failure to recognize what is real. Number three, false beliefs. I mean, that's the world we live in. They believe all kinds of stupid stuff. Unclear or confused thinking. Auditory hallucinations, reduced social engagement. That's epidemic in the United States, where people can't interact socially anymore because they're just on a machine all day on the computer and they don't really get out and actually talk to people. And a lack of motivation. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. You see, we live in an insane world. Let me just give you some examples of some of the insanity in our world today. Look, 1.6 billion people are Muslim. They're insane. Listen, Islam is an insane religion. It's a religion for insane people. And there's 1.6 billion people in this world that think it's totally normal that the founder of their religion, Muhammad, married a six-year-old. They think, look, would you agree with me that you have to be insane to think that that's normal? That he married a six-year-old and then consummated that marriage with her when she was 9 years old. So basically 1.6 billion people on this planet think that that's not pedophilia, that's normal. Look, that's crazy. You're nuts. And here's what's funny. When you point this out to Muslims, here's what they always say.
Oh, well, what about all the Catholic priests, you know, that are molesting little boys?
Like, wait a minute. Two wrongs don't make a right, fool.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you sit there and say, well, it's okay that our religion was started by a pedophile because there's other pedophiles in the world. You're nuts!
Yeah.
It's schizophrenia, my friend. It's these weird, not recognizing what's real, false beliefs, abnormal social behavior. How could you be any more abnormal than when you're marrying a six-year-old?
Right.
It's bizarre. Pedophilia is about as abnormal of a behavior as you can get. You want to talk about false beliefs? It's Islam.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. This whole stupidity of, oh, well, you know, the Catholics are doing it. First of all, number one, they're messed up too.
Yeah.
Newsflash. Yeah. You know, Catholicism's a wicked religion.
Right.
But number two is that Catholicism doesn't sanction it. I mean, last time I checked, the founders of Catholicism didn't just openly engage in pedophilia and say it was normal. I mean, at least they're hiding it, the devils. I mean, think about it. I don't remember St. Augustine, you know, being an open pedophile. I don't remember Constantine the Great being an open pedophile. And look, these are wicked men, but you know what? You have to be an insane person to say, oh, yeah, we know about the fact that he was with a 9-year-old and we think that's normal. And then here's what else they'll say. Oh, well, back then it was normal. This is what Muslims will tell you when you confront them with these facts. Oh, back then that was normal. Yeah, on what planet was that ever normal? Yeah, it's normal in schizophrenic land. It's normal if you're a psycho. That was never normal. And then they'll try to say, oh, well, you know, Mary was this age. Shut up. The Bible doesn't give any age on the Virgin Mary. Anybody would know that the Bible clearly teaches that women are not supposed to engage in that or even be married off until the Bible says, you know, they reach the flower of their age. That's what the Bible says. You know, once they're physically mature, and the Bible defines that, you know, I'm not going to go into it for sake of time. But the bottom line is these people, 1.6 billion of them are nuts. And that should show you that you live in an insane world today. Because when you don't have Jesus and you don't have the Word of God and you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, this is the kind of crazy stuff that you believe in.
Right.
Where you just say, well, yeah, he was married to a 9-year-old. So what? So you're nuts. That's what. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And wake up.
Oh, but somebody else is doing it.
Then the Catholics are perverts. So what?
Yeah.
That's not a valid excuse.
Somebody else did it.
What? Crazy people. I'm telling you, people are nuts, aren't they?
Yeah.
What is another example? I mean, look, atheism is nuts. Right. Oh, yeah, everything came from nothing. You're nuts. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Oh, things came to life by themselves. That doesn't happen. But then they say it's science. Oh, you don't believe in science? Because science tells us things come to life on their own. Really? What branch of science is that? That shows you how things come to life by themselves. No, actually, real science shows that life can only come from life.
Right.
Life begets life. Every living thing on this planet right now came from something else that was already alive.
Right.
You can't take something that doesn't live and make it alive. I don't care how many Jurassic Park movies you've seen or whatever, where you think you can make animals and stuff. Wrong.
Hey, well, what about cloning?
Look, all they do with cloning, they take something that's already alive, they take out the old DNA, they put in the new DNA. That's cloning. They don't create life. They can't bring anything to life. You know, I mean, look, Americans are nuts. Americans are insane. Why? Because most of them think it's normal to be a homo. You have to be an insane person to think that.
Right.
I mean, look, and it's funny because you can show people fact, you can print out all kinds of documentation from the Center for Disease Control website, from AIDS.gov. I mean, these are government websites. These aren't some radical right-wing website where it says, hey, if you're a homo, you're 50 times more likely to get a disease. Hey, monogamy doesn't exist amongst homos. They're only getting married just for show and so on. You could print out all this data and all these facts. Hey, your life expectancy goes down 20 years if you're a homo. But look, they cannot even recognize reality. See, they can't. What is a schizophrenic? They can't separate fantasy from reality. See, when we go to bed at night, we dream, right? And we live in this crazy fantasy world. I mean, think about all the weird dreams that we've had. I mean, who's had some really weird dreams? And, you know, I'm one that remembers my dreams a lot. Like, my wife doesn't remember her dreams that often. I remember my dreams almost every morning. And I have some real weird dreams. It's crazy. But here's the difference, though. When I wake up, I know that it wasn't real. Now, sometimes I got confused. Like, I remember this one time I had this dream that my sister switched jobs, and weeks later I still thought that she had switched jobs. You know, that's how real my dream was. But that's pretty rare. I mean, 99.99% of the time, we wake up from the dream and we know that that was fake and we know that our life is real. But see, the schizophrenic person, they're basically just dreaming all day. They're just imagining things, imagining people talking to them. They're hearing things that aren't really there. So basically, they can't distinguish between reality and fantasy. Look, this is like people who watch TV and think it's real. They watch movies and think it's real. They watch the news and think it's all real. Look, it's fantasy. It's fake. They can't separate what's really happening versus this fantasy fiction world. Look what the Bible says. Keep your finger in chapter 5. Flip over to chapter 29 in Isaiah. Chapter 29. The Bible says in verse 7, and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition and that distress her, watch this, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he's faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out, and cry. They're drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, and the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. Again, showing that insanity is a spiritual problem. He says, look, these people right here, they are like a man who's in his dream eating. He thinks he's full, but he wakes up and he's not full. He's starving. You know, or he's drinking his dreams. Oh, it's so good. And then he wakes up and he's still thirsty. He's saying, look, God has put a sleep upon these people, these nations that are against God. He put sleep upon them, okay? And it talks about them being like unto a drunk or like unto a man that would stagger around completely intoxicated, even though they've consumed no alcohol. So people are in a dreamlike state, is what he's saying, where they think things are real that are not real. And then things that are real, they don't think are real. They're confused about the nature of reality, is what the Bible is saying. And so that's why, you know, you show them facts. Like you try to show the Muslims facts and say, hey, you know, why are you following a pedophile? And it's just like, whoosh, just goes right. It's like, they're just like, no, it was normal back then. But how can they even say that without realizing how insane they are? Okay. Or, you know, you show them, you know, the atheist, hey, you know, there's been a lot of scientific study and discovery, a lot of laboratories. Nobody's ever created life. So how did it just create itself? And it's just, oh, you ignorant fool. You know, and you're like, hey, I thought spontaneous generation was proven to be false. They're like, oh, you mean abiogenesis? Oh, well, as long as you call it that, then it can suddenly exist now. Look, people say if you don't believe that the whole world came from an explosion, you're an idiot. If you don't think that the whole universe was crammed into a dot smaller than the period on a page, you're an idiot. That's what they teach. Even though all those things defy all that we know and observe with science. You know, if you think things come to life by themselves, and you know, they want to talk all about evolution and how this animal turned into that animal, who cares? That's child's play compared to making nothing turn into the first animal. Oh, it's just a really simple organism. Even the most simple single-celled organism is extremely complicated. Look at the DNA of a single-celled organism. Extremely complex. But it just all happened by itself, you know? No, you have to be crazy to think that. And you need God to give you the spirit of a sound mind. As soon as you believe, and I've talked to so many people who believe in evolution, my wife included. And once they believed on Jesus Christ, it was like they just quit believing in it. Like, as soon as they believed in, like, my wife wasn't really sure about evolution. But then after she got saved, it was just like, well, duh, it's stupid. It doesn't make sense. Why? Because God gave her the spirit of a sound mind. And you have to be crazy. I mean, you have to be crazy that thinking that being a homo is normal. You're right. But now you have all this crazy stuff today. You know, and I was thinking about this. Like, it's real simple. You know, our world tries to pride itself on being so logical and reasonable and scientific. When really they're nuts. They're crazy. And speaking of nuts, I have a nut here, okay? And this is a bolt, okay? So listen, this is what a normal person does, all right? See, I got the bolt right here, represent the male, right? We got the nut right here, represent the female, all right? This is what normal people do, okay? This is what, now let me show you what insanity says to do. It doesn't work, stupid. See, but people are crazy today. And then here's what they do. They say, oh, Pastor Anderson's crazy. Oh, you Bible-believing Christians are crazy. You think men are supposed to be with women. You think that if there's all this complexity that's more complex than any computer, there must be a creator. Wow, you guys actually think that it's weird to be married to a 9-year-old. You American scum. I mean, what in the... Look. Is it just me or are we living in an insane world? Go to Isaiah chapter 5. You know, this is what our world is trying to tell us. This is normal. This was designed to do this, people. That's what they're trying to teach you. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Wouldn't you say that somebody who put sweet for bitter has a reality problem? Right. Wouldn't you say that somebody put light for darkness has a reality problem? Wouldn't you say that somebody put good for evil and evil for good is having a hard time discerning what is real or unreal? Wouldn't you say that they have a false belief? Wouldn't you say that they have unclear or confused thinking?
Right. Yeah. Amen.
And of course they're going to have a lack of motivation. when they're taught that life is meaningless.
Yeah.
There's no purpose in God, in the Lord. It's just meaning. Well, of course you're going to have a lack of motivation. Flip over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll close on this. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, the Bible's a real reasonable book. I mean, Jesus talked about it. I mean, Isaiah 1:18, for example, the Lord says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." And, you know, if you read the book of Acts, you know what it keeps saying about the Apostle Paul? Acts 17:2, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Acts 18:4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and Greeks. Acts 18:19, he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Acts 24:25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." You see, to the insane person, the sane person is the one that has the problem. You know what I mean? What do you mean you don't see all these people I'm talking to? You're nuts. You're losing it. Think about it. And I mean, think about it. What if we were in a whole room filled with schizophrenics and you're the only normal person there? They're going to think there's something wrong with this guy. Why doesn't he see all these people we're talking to? You know, he's crazy. Put him in a straitjacket. So to the world, you know, we're seen as unreasonable, illogical, when in reality, everything we're saying is perfectly reasonable and perfectly logical and makes perfect sense. It's just that you're trying to explain things to a crazy person. You know, have you ever been out soul winning and give the gospel to someone and you realize that they're crazy partway through the gospel? I mean, I've done that a bunch of times. You know, you start talking to them and then they're just like, well, yeah, because, you know, these pink elephants and bunnies and, you know, and a spaceship landed. And you're just like, all right, see you later. You know, I mean, if you go knock every door, you run into people that are just out of their minds, right? Well, you know, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, the world today, they may not be full-blown schizophrenic, but they're kind of leaning that way in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, there's a bit of this disorder in them, okay? And, you know, what does the Bible say in Ephesians 4:22? It says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I want to emphasize that verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, your mind has a spiritual component that the world fails to recognize, because this is why the world fails to recognize it, because it has to be discerned by faith. Why? It's not something you can test in a laboratory. You know, I'm not going to bring you scientific proof for the Bible because there is none. Because you don't discern it in a laboratory, it's all by faith. So the world that is a faithless and perverse generation, they don't have the faith to understand the spiritual aspect of the mind. But we as Christians know, and we can observe people who are sitting clothed and in their right mind as a result of Jesus. You know, we may not be able to show you any data readout, but we know that we have a sound mind because of Jesus. And that the people around us have a sound mind because of Jesus. Look, Jesus is the answer. Salvation is the answer. The Word of God is the answer to the mental illness today in the United States and in the world. And even if we go down their own list, what's the answer for the first classification, depression? Jesus. Because joy comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Spirit of God. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Then you're not going to be depressed. Number two, addiction. Hey, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Jesus will free you from addiction. Phobias. God's not giving us the spirit of fear. Oh, no. He's given us spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Personality disorders. Hey, the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says that wicked one toucheth him not. You know, once you're saved, the Holy Ghost is in you. You're not going to have demons living inside you. Number five, schizophrenia. You know, what's going to ground you and put your wheels on the ground and keep your feet on the ground of what the truth is the Bible. This is your reality check, oh, schizophrenic one. You can't figure out what's real and what's not real. You know, this is what's real.
Amen.
The Word of God. And, you know, people like John Nash that are having all these imaginary friends, those are demons that he's talking to.
Right.
It's demonic. He's possessed, okay? And that's part of the reason, you know, why we see his life leading up to that, just getting more and more wicked to the point where he's being a sodomite in the park with strangers, okay? Number six, serial crime disorder. It's the love that comes from the Spirit of God that will cause us not to do ill to our neighbor, that will cause us not to want to murder and rape and steal and do all these bad things of a serial crime disorder. No, it's called sin.
Serial crime disorder. No, it's called being a wicked person. It's called being a rotten person.
But the reason they give it these fancy names of, oh, it's not addiction, it's ritualizing, mood altering, phobias. Why are these called fear?
Yeah.
You know, personality disorders, perceptual distortions. No, they give it a fancy name so they can give you a drug.
Yeah.
When really all you need is Jesus. All you need is the Bible. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the spirit of a sound mind. And Lord, the devil wants to make us feel like we're crazy. And I've even talked to many Christians who said, man, sometimes I just feel like I'm crazy because no one around me can see what I see. But no, it's the world that's crazy. And those of us as Bible-believing Christians have been given that spirit of a sound mind. Lord, thank you for clearing up our mind, clearing up our thoughts, Lord. Help us to spend time in your word, Lord, so that we can get a mind that's even more clear and really strengthen our mind through studying the Bible and be freed from these addictions and sins and bad things, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.